yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Anytime you misbehave, you give somebody the opportunity in line to take your place. So don't misbehave. And you see, we misbehave anytime we assume that we deserve anything. Tell somebody, you don't deserve anything. You don't. Now, I know that some may not agree with me, but it doesn't matter. I just say it as it is. Tell somebody, it is what it is. The Bible says, no man can receive anything except it be given to him from above. And the Bible says, what have you that you did not receive? And why then do you act like you did not receive it? So understand that. That whatever it is, whether it's intelligence or brilliance or skills or giftings or favor or wealth or material possession, whatever it is, you have it for a reason. And when you forget the reason for a thing, it results into abuse. And there's a lot of abuse on the planet. There's enough to make every human being on the planet a millionaire and rich. But the reason why the rich are becoming richer and the poor are becoming poorer is because there's a few group of individuals who have gained access to abundance and to mega wealth and blessing, and they are enjoying it and living comfortably at the suffering of the masses. And it attracts a curse. And people don't know this. That a lot of people bless, die prematurely, and attract a curse on their lives because they hold to themselves abundance for others and forget that it was never meant for them, but it was meant for others. And whilst many cry and pray to God for blessings and breakthrough, God had chosen some to be a source of blessing to others, but they hold it only to themselves and think that they are the only people who deserve what they have, and their kids. People talk about corruption and always attack politicians, say they are corrupt. But there's corruption everywhere, in families and in the church. And corruption simply means using what is given to you for the benefit of others for yourself. That's all, diverting it. And the reason why there's poverty in nations is because few people control and command so much wealth for themselves and their immediate family. They don't care who dies and who goes to bed without food. And they amass wealth to themselves and they don't know it brings a curse. Let me begin by saying that the title of my message is simply this: bless for others. Tell somebody, bless for others. May I say this to you, that anytime God blesses you, he has others in mind. Tell somebody, anytime God blesses you or favors you, he has others in mind. God never blesses any one of us for us. He always does it for the benefit of others. Say others. Come with me to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, and the 26th verse.
And I've made of one blood all nations of
men. Underline the word, and I've made of one man or one blood all nations of men for to dwell
on all the face of the earth. And I'll determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
May I announce to you that there is nothing wrong about you being a Ghanaian. Nothing wrong. It was predetermined by the judicial decisions of eternity. It was an executive determination and decision that you should belong here as a Ghanaian. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. And whatever you need to fulfill the reason for your being and being here as a Ghanaian was provided and determined before you were born. But you have to seek God. You have to seek God first. If you seek Him and you follow Him, the provision will be made available. If you don't seek Him, you will have to go to another country and struggle. And you can go to another country and become huge and big, but you will still miss the reason for which you were born, because you weren't meant to be where you are. You were meant to be where you were born to fulfill an assignment. And if God wants you anywhere else like He did to Joseph, He Himself will create conditions and an occasion to get you there. There is nothing wrong about you being a Ghanaian. God never made a mistake for you being black and for you being an African. There's a reason why you were a Ghanaian and born here. But remember that when God created Adam, He had in mind 8 billion people on the planet. When He was creating Adam, He was seeing you and I and all the 8 billion and more people who have lived and died. He showed them all in Adam, one man. Out of one man came all these many. Do you know that there are nations in you? You are carrying nations. You were born for such a time like this. Not to just be a father, a mother, a wife, and a husband. You are more than a father. You are more than a wife. You are more than a husband. You are more than an individual. You are carrying nations. You are on assignment. You are a game changer. You are a wonder. You are a miracle. You are a sign to your generation. You are not just what you think you are. You are better than what you are right now. Can somebody put your hands together and give God some praise? You know, one of the reasons why people tithe and they don't get blessed is because they don't even understand the reason for the tithes. Let me show you something. Go to Malachi 3 and look at the 10th verse. Malachi 3:10. Let me show you something here.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Look at something.
That there be meat in my house.
That might be what?
Meat in my house.
We need that meat, but let's go past the meat.
And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows.
Say windows. This week, a lot of you will receive open windows. But let's go past the windows. Go ahead, look at something.
And pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
You see, that is where the issue is. And we all miss that one. He said, I have in mind and in stock a blessing for you, mega blessing, that you will not have anything to contain. You can't contain this thing, because this thing I have in mind for is bigger than you. It is not about you, it's about others. But we forget that it is never about us, but it's about others. So it limits us. When the motive is wrong, God doesn't spend His time, and He doesn't waste His blessing, and He doesn't waste His rain. You don't believe it? Go to Genesis 2:5. Let me show you something. Genesis 2:5. Look at Genesis 2:5.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew.
Before.
For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
You see here, even though man was created, man wasn't yet formed. He was created, but he wasn't formed. And because there was no man to till the land, God said, I'm not going to waste my water. God doesn't waste His water and blessings. So He said, there will be no rain until man is formed. Now go to Genesis 1:27. Look at 27 and 28.
So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So here we understand that man was created in verse 27 and man was blessed in 28, but man wasn't still in existence. He was created. Blessed means empowered to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over creation, the elements, everything. But even though man was created and was blessed and empowered, man still did not exist. And because there was no man to till the land, God said, I'm not going to waste my water. I ain't wasting any rain on the earth. So man was created, man was blessed, but man did not exist. Go to verse 7 of chapter 2. Verse 7 of chapter 2.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden.
Stop there. Stop there. So man was created, but he wasn't formed. He existed, but wasn't formed. How did he exist? He existed in the womb of time, but he hadn't yet manifest. And God said, I'm not wasting my rain, I'm not wasting my water on the earth until man appears on the scene in my own image to till the land. I'm not wasting my blessings. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1.
But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel.
That what?
Formed thee.
That created and formed. Yes, somebody said there's a difference between being created and being formed. So the architect goes to the drawing table, and on the drawing table, he comes up with a plan. All the details of the building and everything is planned. He takes it to lands department or whatever you call it, and town planning, and they put a stamp on it and give you approval to begin the building. So before you begin to build, you must finish the building before you begin. So the building plan is the creation, but the formation is when you put into action what has been created. Are you hearing me, somebody? So you were created before you were formed. Say yes. Let me leave that and move on. Hear me. By one man, by one blood, has he made all nations. Acts 17:26. By one man, by one, and has determined their boundaries of habitation. So God determined before time that you and I will dwell here in Ghana. In Accra, Ghana. It's not by choice. It's not by accident. I didn't choose where I would dwell. The boundaries of my habitation was determined by him. And as I seek him, I will find clarity, a sense of direction, and every provision that is necessary for me to fulfill the purpose for which I was created and formed will be at my disposal. But I need to seek him. Somebody say, seek him. Come with me to Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Genesis 12, 1 and 2.
Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation.
On the land I will make of thee a great nation. Do you know that you are a great nation? You are. Yeah, you don't have to believe it. It is what it is. You are a potentially a great nation. For the Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered the hearts of men what God has planned for those who love him. And I know you love God. Even though you're offended, you're angry, you have all kinds of attitude, I know you love God. That's why you are here. That's why you are hearing the word of God this Sunday morning. You love God. And God has a mega blessing and a plan for your life. Irrespective of where you're going through right now, you may not have anything, you may be struggling, times may be tough and difficult, but I'm telling you, potentially, you are a great nation. You are. You're a great nation. You're carrying a great nation. And God said, I will make you a great nation. Go ahead.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great.
I will not just bless you, but I will make your name a household name. You'll be known everywhere.
And thou shalt be a blessing.
And God said, I'm going to bless you. And you will become a channel of blessing. Tell somebody, you are a channel of blessing. You're a channel of blessing. Yes, you are a channel of blessing. You are. You know, a Muslim young man was doing business and was traveling from Benin City to Lagos. And my spiritual father had a guest who had come from America, and they have to catch a flight in Lagos to fly to New York. That was the only flight from Benin City to Lagos. So he went on board a flight, and he said, I need a group of individuals to give up their seat for a blessing. And some of the Christians sitting in the plane, they started sleeping. Nobody wanted to give up their seat. And a young man stood up with his secretary, his executive assistant, gave up his seat, two seats. And the host asked him and said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Aliko Dangote. And he said, what do you do? And he said, I'm in business. And he said, thank you for what you have done. Be a household name. And may your name and your business stretch and go beyond the borders of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He started blessing him. That is the history of that man. A Muslim, not a Christian. And my assignment is to make sure that on that day, my hands will be innocent of every man's blood. That I did reminded you. I reminded you. Amen. Come with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I think it's the 7th chapter. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. From the 8th verse. Look at from the 8th verse. There's something there. These were about the four leopards. There's something here that is very, very, very scaring. I want you to look at it.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it.
You see, they came into the tent. God had given them an advantage over the enemy. Anybody who is fighting you, God will make them hear something they fear. They will see something they fear in life and leave you alone. Say yes. They stumble on a blessing and they gathered and went and put some in foreign banks. Like people do. Foreign banks. Some in the Swiss bank, some in Dubai, different places. They hid the money. They hid wealth to themselves. When, look at it again. Look at the second thing they did. Go ahead.
And the lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp and went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried the silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another
again.
Tent.
Again! It's not an awful. That's why the rich are becoming richer and the poor poorer. Because people through selfishness, greed, are hoarding wealth. Hey, it's never enough. And they don't care about anybody but themselves and their immediate family. Let's go ahead.
And they carried thence also and went and hid it.
Second time. First time, they grabbed, they gathered, and kept it. Then they went the second time, did it again. It's never enough. Greed of the highest order. But these guys came to themselves. Go ahead.
Then they said one to another, we do not well.
They said, hey, this thing we do, it will bring a curse on us. Listen to what they said. That word is a curse, what they are using. And there are people who attract curses on them through blessings. When they get blessed and they forget that it's for the benefit of others and not themselves, it brings a curse on them. When you are using wealth, blessing for the masses, for yourself. And people are going hungry and are denied and deprived of what is given to you for their benefit, it attracts a curse. And it's happening in the church. Look at these four leopards, what they said.
This day is a day of good tidings.
He said, it's a day of good tidings. I was talking to somebody, I said, there are people in the church, and when they get blessed, they don't want anybody to know they are blessed. There was a couple that, I said to him, how come you don't pay corporate tithe? And he said, you know, it's my wife. She doesn't want you and people to know we have money. And I said, and when you didn't have money and you were broke, and I used to help you, you were not ashamed of it. It was clear. So how come now that you are blessed, you don't want anybody to know you are blessed? Why are you hiding it from me? He said, it's my wife. So I called and I said, girl, what's going on? Your husband says you are stopping him from obeying God. I said, what do you mean? I said, he said, the reason why he's not tithing. I said, Papa, don't mind him. He doesn't want you to know we have money. From that day, I stopped talking. I gave it up because I realized that this was a battle I will not win. It's a battle between husband and wife. I can't win. So I said, God, it's in your hands. I'm out of it. But there are people like that. When they get blessed, they don't want anybody to know. And these four lepers were like that. They were hoarding the blessings. Then they came to themselves and said, you know something? This can bring a curse on us, calamity. If we don't change our ways and get it right, we'll run into trouble. Go ahead.
So this is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Mm-hmm. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us.
You see, people were in the city dying, and they were waiting on these blessings they have found to announce it for the benefit of others. Say others. Talk to me. Say others. But they kept hoarding and hoarding and hoarding till they came to themselves and said, we can't keep doing this. It's for the benefit of others. There's a dying souls in there. The masses are suffering. We have to share. Say share.
So now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household.
You see? It's for the benefit of others. If you forget that, keep hoarding. A calamity will hit you because it was never meant for you. It was meant for others. Come to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, from verse 6.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes.
Underline the word great multitude of fishes. I enforce the release of a mega blessing for you. I said the release of a mega blessing is coming to you in the name of Jesus. Say to somebody, but it's for the benefit of others. If you lose sight of that, if you lose sight of that, you are finished. It's just a matter of time. And I've seen greedy and selfish people since I've become a Christian that their end was not good. Their end wasn't good at all. I'm talking about Christians, not unbelievers. I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about Christians born again. And I watched their end. And I was grieved. And I said, but this is not the way it should be. As it is written, watch and mark the upright man. For the end of such a man is peace. Selfishness and greed won't take you anywhere. A short memory will cut you short. People who have short memory don't live long. They die early. They forget from whence they have come. Go ahead. Luke 5.
And their neck brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
You see, get this. Peter was a good fisherman. He'd gone fishing all night and caught nothing, gave his boat to Jesus, and Jesus used his boat and said, there is more blessing to give than to receive. I want you to be blessed. So the blessing came, but he hadn't developed the capacity. You see, this is Malachi. I'm still in Malachi 3:10. I'm still dwelling on Malachi 3:10. The blessing was mega that he didn't have the capacity to contain it because it was never meant for him only. So he had to beckon to his partners to come and say, hey, this blessing is mega. It's not just for me. It's for others. Come and partake. And they came and they all partook of the blessing. But even though they came with their boats and filled their ships and boats and everything, the blessing was so heavy that after many had come to partake of it, everybody's boat or ship began to sink. Hey, Peter alone couldn't handle it. Hear me. There is a blessing coming your way. And I'm preparing you. It's mega. It's huge. It's big. It's heavy. And you can't handle it alone. You can't handle it alone. Get ready to be a blessing to others. Get ready to bless others. Get ready to be a blessing. Get ready to be a channel of blessing. Get ready to be a miracle. Get ready to be a wonder. Get ready to be a miracle. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Somebody say, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Somebody say, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. It's coming. And I am enforcing it. My assignment is to prepare you. If you get blessed, they get $1 million. And the first thing that comes into your mind is to buy a new car. You missed it. You are a disappointment and a disgrace to God and to humanity. As long as people don't understand why they were born, why they are here, why they are blessed, and they think that it is just about them and the immediate family, the world will continue to suffer and the masses will suffer. And those who have more than the masses who don't share will suffer the consequence thereof. Acts chapter 20 verse 35.
I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak.
Supporting the weak.
And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
A lot of people live and are always expecting to be blessed. But Bible said, there's more blessing in sharing than always expecting to receive. I have a message that I'm working on. And I said, I'm going to keep it for the convention. And the Lord said, share it. And I said, I want some big revelation for the convention. This one is hot. I want to hoard it. And the Lord says, share it. Tell somebody, say, share the thing, share the thing. And I said, Lord, this revelation, you know how I struggle to get it. And the Lord said, you did what? You struggle to get it. Didn't I give it to you? It was a mystery I demystified for you. Can't I demystify more mysteries? Why do you want to hit it? Why do you want to keep it? I said, oh Lord, I want to hold this one and sit down. Let the boat I preach so that during the con, I will fire. And then he said, so you can look good, eh? So I checked the motive and I realized that it was flesh. So I repent. So I shared it. You remember the message I preached on generational thinkers? Yeah, I wanted to keep that one for the convention. Heavy message. I said, Papa, ask for this one. Nobody has preached it yet. And all the convention speakers and people coming for revelation, they'll need this one. Mitnasu, I'm going to sit on it. And the Lord said, sit on what? To preach it where you want to preach it. When people must hear it before them. You want to sit on it? Share it. Then to somebody say, share it. That is the problem in the church. We don't want to share blessings. We are sitting on it when people need it. Between now and then, do you know what will happen to people when they don't hear what you are sitting on? Do you know what will happen to people if you don't share what God has given to you and you keep hoarding it? Some of you have some secret blessings you are keeping for Christmas. You are keeping it for Dubai. You're going to Orlando, Florida. Disney World. In Orlando, in France, in Paris. To chill. Share it. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, quickly.
From the New King James, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
You see, the gifts of the Spirit, the vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy, tongues and interpretation, the revelational gifts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirit, the power gifts, the gifts, workings of miracles, the gifts of healing, and the gift of special faith. It's all given for the benefit of all, to profit all. So it's a curse when you exploit people through your gift, whether it's a prophetic gift, an apostolic gift, whether it's the power gifts, revelational gifts, or the vocal gifts, the gifts that say something, the gifts that reveal, or the gifts that do something. When you deploy any of those gifts to exploit people, manipulate people, put fear in people to profit thereof, it will bring a curse on you. No gift given is for the benefit of the one that has it. It's always given for the benefit of others. There's nothing we have which is meant for us. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
When you are converted, do what?
Strengthen thy brethren.
Say others. Say others. He said, when you are converted, when you are strengthened, help others. Help the brethren. Say the brethren. That is it. Use what you have for the benefit of others. The church, the work of God. Help others. Acts chapter 13, verse 36.
For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption.
You have no business to see corruption. You are not permitted and allowed to die until you impact your generation. You are here to transform a generation. You are not just a husband. You are not just a wife. You are not just a father or a mother. You are bigger and better than that. You are born for such a time like this to impact a generation and your world. Please stop looking down on yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. Go past yourself. Live for the benefit of others. And one of these days, God will blow your mind. He will give you the spirit of the overtaker. For he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He will take a nobody and make him a somebody. He makes something out of a nothing. Say yes. God does not choose qualified people. He chooses the unqualified and qualifies them. And hear me. God does not need your ability. He needs your availability. Hear me. For the battle is not to the mighty, nor to bread, nor bread or prosperity, to men of skill or brilliance or intelligence. Nor riches to men of giftings, but time and chance happen to all men. And it's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. I will bless whom I will. I will have mercy on whom I will. For I am God by myself. Is anybody hearing me? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. give somebody a high five and say, you are a miracle, you are a miracle. Tell somebody, you are a miracle in the making, you are a miracle in the making. If some of you have an idea of what God has in stock for you, you will stop looking down on yourself. You will stop looking at your bank account. You will stop looking on yourself the way you are looking on yourself. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Four lepers. What's up? Four lepers. Outcasts of society. Ostracized of society. They were nobodies. These were people who had become proverbs and a byword. People have no regard nor any value for them. They were of no value. They were of no use. They were of no importance. They were of no significance in town. They were outcasts of society, sitting outside the gate of the city. And God said, let me blow your mind. Let me show you that I am Adonai, I am Elohim, and I can do anything I please and use whatever I please. And four lepers sitting outside of the gate of the city, outcasts. And the Bible said, and God made the enemies who have surrounded Israel, Samaria, to hear a sound. And this was the sound. They heard the sound of chariots and of horses, of horsemen and of troops. And the Assyrian said, the king of Samaria has gone to deploy other nations to come after us. Everybody has something they are afraid of in life. Can I prophesy? This coming week, all your enemies will hear what they fear, and they will leave you alone. If you believe me, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Hear me. If your enemies are afraid of snakes, they will see abundance of snakes this week. If they are afraid of cockroaches, they will see plenty cockroaches. What they fear the most will come upon them. They'll leave you alone. I said they'll leave you alone. Sit down. I'm through. You have to say, God. You have to say, Father, I don't want to be selfish anymore. I don't want to live a selfish and greedy life. These four leopards, God choose them, God used them to blow the mind of a nation. And it was a result of their unselfishness, selflessness, that the whole nation that were dying and perishing was rescued. God will bring deliverance to your nation through you. Stand, let's pray. Lift up your hands all over this place. Lift up. Say, Father, I stand in the light of your word. And I take responsibility of where I've erred. I repent of my ignorance, of my arrogance, of my pride, of being selfish and greedy. I repent of selfishness and greed. And from today, Father, help me to understand the reason for my being, that whatever I am and however be is for the benefits of others. And I'm willing and obedient to share what I have, and not to withhold anything due your work and your house and others. I will no more withhold or sit on anything that you've given me. But I'm a steward of everything and a possessor of nothing. I'm a channel of blessing. I won't hold back. I will not attract the curse of the masses, but I will attract the blessing and the goodwill of God and the masses, because I will not withhold and sit upon the blessings of others. In the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. If you are here, you are not born again, you are not sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you say, "Preacher, Papa, I don't want to go to hell. I need Jesus." Will you please lift up your right hand? Let me pray for you. "I don't want to go to hell. I need Jesus. I need a Savior." It's important. This is a decision that will come your way, maybe for now, and that will be it. A day will come when it shall be too late, even if you want to do it. Will you keep that hands up? Let me pray for you right now. Father, look at these hands that are lifted. Wherever they are, I want you to touch them. Touch them. Touch. Mark their lives and let not one go to hell. If your hand is lifted up, I'm praying for you. Will you please come to me at the front? Come. At the third floor, second floor, first floor, overflow, wherever. Please come. I'm waiting for you. Come. Sister, come. Brother, come. Yes, come, sister, come. Come. Turn to somebody and say, "Go forward." Turn to somebody. Tell them, say, "Go forward." Sister, come. Come. Brother, come. You lifted up your hand. Come. We are here to help you and not to embarrass you. Tell somebody, "I will walk with you. I'll go with you." It's a decision you must take. A day will come when you will want to, but it will be too late. I'm telling you. Come now. Come now. It's possible you are here, you say, "You know what? I used to be in church, Papa. I used to be in church. But I got hurt. I got offended." You have no right being hurt or offended. He said, "Church people disappointed me. I don't like church people. The pastor offended me. Somebody took advantage of me. They exploited me." It doesn't matter what was done to you. You have no business being offended and leaving the church. And you say, I want to come back to church. I want to overcome this offense and pain and hurt. I want to rise above it. I want to come back to church. Will you please come? I want to come back to church. Come. I backslided. I want to come back to church. Please come. Please come. Turn to somebody and say, "If you must go, I'll go with you." Tell somebody, "If you must go, I'll go with you." Come now. And may I say to you that church people are not angels. Church people are just like you. Church people, they're just like you. So don't be shocked and surprised when pastors, men of God, women of God, or Christians miss it. We are not angels. We are all seeking God for perfection. All of us. We are all working on our salvation with fear and trembling. Not one of us, including myself, is perfected. The day we are perfected, we are taken out. God is still working on us. Tell somebody, "Be patient with me. Be patient with me. For God is still working on me." Yeah, He is. If you are coming, come. Now I want you to lift up your hands, everybody here. Say, "Oh God, I recognize this day that I'm a sinner. That I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I need you, Lord. I declare, before heaven and hell, this day that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, wash my robes in your blood. Cleanse me and I will be cleansed. Heal me and I'll be healed. Forgive me and I shall be forgiven. Lord Jesus, write my name now in the Lamb's Book of Life. Take my name out of the book of death. I need you, Lord, than never before. Help me to discover the reason for which I was born, that I may not die a disappointment to you. Come, Lord Jesus. You are my Lord. I accept you to my heart. Amen. Look at me. Every one of you. I did what you are doing many years ago. Little did I know that God had called me and had a plan for me. You should have seen me in those days. I didn't look good at all. There was no hope. But God. But God. Somebody say, but God.